Okay, ready? When we last left our heroes, we were in Sinukupe Zion, and we had just finished Sith Base, if I'm not mistaken. Right, what have we seen at the end of Seven Cafes? The last line, and just sort of ran through. This is La Fuke from the Ravid and the Ramban, who say the Ravids and the Yosef Ramban. I think this Ramban is not the Yosef Torch, the other one is, but it's in the Shach and the Ramban. Who say that we're not Bekiyim nowadays how to do this Bedika. We assume we are Bekiyim nowadays, and even nowadays we can do this Bedika. Let's go to Sif Gilad. What if, what's the order of the Brisa? Let me just turn to the Brisa again. And this Simon is basically going through this one Brisa line by line. It says, etc. After the third husband. The Brisa has the Bedika after the third husband. Right? What if she wants to do the Bedika after the first husband? Right? What if she likes the first husband? She doesn't want to try three different men before. Can she do that? So Rashi sounds like she can't. Rashi sounds pretty clearly like the Tibdar Biashlishi Shalbal Rishon. Why can't she? Why does she have to get the worst? Why can't she do Badika after the Baal Rishon? And the answer is because Ain Kolos both shovels. Rashi sounds like the Marsh trying to say, when he asks, what? Do Bedika for the first bowel? Is she allowed to Bedika for those bowel? No, she's not allowed to. Most Rishonim sound like, should she have to do Bedika after the first husband? No, she doesn't have to. So that's the Marsh says, do Bedika after the first, the Lashon of the Gemara, and analyzing this is, sorry, let me find the Tid Dogatzma Yishlish Shabbat Rishon. I'm like, no, the Fish Ain Kolos both shovels. So most of us say, should she be chayiv to Bedika right away and be usher to marry a second time? No, she's allowed to marry a second time. She can choose, marry a second time or do Bedika. Rashi sounds like maybe she should be allowed to do Bedika after the first husband and stay with him. No, she's not allowed to do Bedika till after three husbands. So that's my folks, Shona Rashi and maybe the Rambam. The Rambam is similar to Lashon Gemara. Some of Dai Yosef suggests that maybe the Rashi and maybe the Rambam against. Anyone else? So, does the Dikas Shpoferes help after Baal Rishon, right? Three times with the first husband. Rashi sounds like, and maybe the Rambam, although Slushan is not so clear, no. All the other Rishonim, I'm not going to list them. Yifshah, the fourth of Kirabim, say yes. So what does the Mechaber say? And wrote to live there after all the types of Rishon, Acha, Shimsha, Gimel, Pa'amin, Harishas, Biyada, Umuterislo. She can if she wants. The Yeshomer, Shasur, the Rishon, Vitash, Vishlish, Vibdika. Right, and Yeshomer, Rashi, and maybe the Rambam, say that, no, she can never stay with the first husband, even if Vibdika Shloferis will not help her. Let's see how we paskin before we analyze these Sparas. How do we paskin? The Yesh Lismo Chasver Rishon Allah Hakel says, first of all, how do you think the Mechaber paskins? What? No, I think the Rambam is Mekel here, like most Rishonim. Why? Because it's a Stam and Yeshomer. Stam and Yeshomer, we generally assume he goes with the Stam. So the Mechaber would be with most Rishonim. The Rambam is the same. What does the Rambam say? The Yesh Lismo Chasver Rishon Allah Hakel. If it hurts her during Tashmish, then he thinks everyone would be mowed that to be Mekel because you have another time, Lahakal, when it hurts during Tashmish. That is good proof that it's not Damnida, that it's from some sort of injury from the Tzadim, So it's another evidence lakula. Okay, but even without that, he says we hold like the first day. Which Achron is Machmir like Rashi and the Rambam? There's one Achron on their side. Probably more than one that we see.
The Shach
said, "Fiyani is daiti in Yudalad Nirin the Ein Baharos Bikaval Rishon." Because the Rambam and Rashi, and then he adds, he thinks he has a deep entosis that way. And then he adds, well, the Ramban and the Ravid holds Bikash for first, never works anyways. There are others, there's so many Tzavim Lahachmir that he doesn't think we should be Machmir. So the Shach is, however, even the Shach ends with, give me a second, but the Bachim Aram Lublin and the other Achronim are Mekel. And if you look in the Pesach Tshuva, Sifkat and Chaf quotes basically all the Achronim, quotes some other, some Rosh, the Radvaz. The Knesset Yechezkel, besides the ones of Shachor, the English Shmuel, everyone is Mekel. Basically, all the Achronim are Mekel, and obviously, this is how we are going to pass it. Okay, Leon.
Speech or in saying she can't do the Beit Akron, the scholar is saying that he has a picture for this problem.
Saying that. The Bedika doesn't fix her. I mean, she can do whatever she wants. It just won't have any halachic effect because it won't be matter in the first battle.
The Shomer is Rashi and Rama, or
yes,
but the Rashi and Rama saying that she can't do it at all. Then, or Rebbe saying it can't doesn't fix her first battle.
She can, but she can do whatever she wants. L'chora, if then she had three tashmishes with Dam for the second bowel, three tashmishes Dam for the third bowel, we'd be so much on this Bedika at that point. But we wouldn't be so much on it yet. I guess you're right. I guess we would be so much on it if she had to get divorced from the second and third husband. But it wouldn't help her till after she messed up the third husband. That's your question.
And also with this, let's enjoy that first bowel, and she sees the diamonds from Bakura. And she has chazaka as if she did for three vowels after this one bika.
Ah, okay, good question. So, let's figure out what the svaras of these two shitas. Most rishonim say it would matter after the first vowel. So why does the brisa at least suggest waiting until after the third husband? Right, why not do it after the first husband? So the answer is obvious. It's in the shachar or something, Yud Gimel. But it's obvious. Miyum bad gerishim nimsalamo chasur lakol king kasvu haposkim. Right, what's the downside? The downside is, but, right, why wouldn't everyone do it after the first bowel? Right, why would the brisa describe a woman who waits till she messes up three husbands to do this bedika? Because it's risky. It's an itza tova now too, right? But maybe unwise, right? If she really likes the first husband, she should do bdika for the first husband, but maybe unwise because if she fails, she's usher to everyone and she loses her last two chances. But maybe unwise because if matza dam al hamoch, she is asura le kol, and she loses her next two chances. That's what the Shach says. I mean, it's sort of obvious that you have to say that because there's no downside. Then, if there was no downside, then everyone would do it. Why? Because we only matter to the second husband because maybe it's dam min hatzdadim. Once you prove that it's dam min hamakor, then we don't. Then we're not mad to her for the next husband. So therefore, it's risky because yes, Yehuda, because she could be usher to everyone because now she's taken away the side heter of suffix
studied. I was wondering, do we follow the
So give me a second. Would we? The answer is I'm not sure because I've never heard come up with Lamaisa. But let's get there for a second. Let's get a simple question. What's the svar of Rashi and the Rambam? Like, why wouldn't we follow this bedika after the first husband. After all, if the bedika works, it works. So why wouldn't we follow after the first husband? So there are a bunch of different pshatim. Anyone think of any pshatim why we wouldn't follow after the first husband?
I mean, in terms of
No, in terms of she can marry someone else without a bedika, right? Three times the first husband, she's allowed to marry the second guy without doing anything. So passing the bedika won't hurt. Aha. So that's the shita of the Dogma Mervava and the Nod Yehuda, right? One shot is, why not? Because in Kol Etz Bo'el Shavu, sorry, we mentioned that last year. Meaning after three husbands, she's proven that it doesn't make a difference what etzba. But after one husband, we think it's only his etzba. So let's say she passes this test. That just proves that the shvoferes doesn't cause dam. The first husband might still cause dam. If all three husbands cause dam, then all its balls are equal. So this proves something. But because, which is what the Gemara says, right? Ein kol ha'etz ba'os shavos. Ein kol ha'etz ba'os shavos. And therefore, maybe only the first husband's aver causes dam. That's one possibility. Yes?
Would this count as the second time the chalaka, though? Even you say in Kol Etz Bo'el Shavu, it's going to count as the second husband?
Hold on, we're talking about if she passes or she fails the test?
Fails.
Oh, no. If she fails the test, then, that's interesting. If she fails the test, would this count? Meaning, if you're saying in Kol Etz Bo'el Shavu, then failing the test shouldn't be so... shouldn't be as bad as it is according to this shita. Maybe failing the test would just count as like one bedika of a new baal. Perhaps, correct. Me'ikra doing pasuk this way, failing the test, she's dead. No, but it could be still. It takes away the suffix stunted. Because maybe calls for, yeah, I think she would still be dead. Okay, but what if she passes the test, right? Does passing... There are other hesberim also. What's another hesber? Another hesber found in the Achronim is... that we don't really like to rely on this test. This test is not really so reliable. We only rely on it the makom igud, if she'd be an aguna, meaning she'd never be able to get married. But if you're the first husband, she's not an aguna, because she could still marry anyone in the world. That's a big chiddush. Gerushin is not a big enough tzorach to rely on this test. Only igud is a big enough tzorach, right? Breaking up a marriage is not a good enough reason to rely on this test. But igun is a good enough reason. Okay, that's a very subtle point, but maybe Mekilin rak the mokom igun below the mokom gibrashin. Even though usually in halacha, if a couple get divorced, that's considered a pretty big tzara. But still, it's not as bad as mokom igun.
I don't think
what?
The
pshat
of the Gemara, you mean?
Yeah. It's the Lashon of the Gemara, now it's the Raisa. Because ain't color, it's both shovels. Nice. So I guess you have to say, because of ain't color, it's both shovels, really ain't color, it's both shovels after the third husband either. So what's the difference? I mean, don't take the good to stop. After three husbands, you've proven that all is both shovels. Really, you can never be 100% sure that it's bowls or shovels. But the Mokum Egon will be so mechanic, and Shalom Mokum Egon we won't.
Why
would you
say
that? Rashi
is also not like that, because it's a
Shash
Karis, and therefore it doesn't work. Meaning,
right. Okay, I'll point out the Magen Mishnah says something more mechanish. The Magen Mishnah says, because a Gzeira that they will engage in Tashmish before doing the Bdikas Shofaris. So we don't want to give them this head to B'dikah Shofaris, because they might engage in Tashmish before the B'dikah. It's also a bit of a strange shot, but we'll point out the Magen Mishnah, talk this in the Yehuda. The Magen Mishnah says, Gzeira Shema Yishamshu Kodem HaB'dikah. Okay, so there are all kinds of pshatim
But Yehuda's pointing out that the Pshat of the Gemara says ain't called little shovels. So it sounds like not. My mission would say, oh, well, maybe that's the reason why she's allowed to marry the second guy. But the reason that after that they decided she can't rely on Pika Shmoferis is because Xavier, they might sleep together without a Pika Shmoferis. Or maybe because they only wanted to rely on equating the Pika Shmoferis with Bia Makum Igum, where she has no other choice. Here she has a choice of marrying someone else. And not that it's so easy to always find someone else to marry. But maybe the simple shot is what the Nodem Yehuda says, right? Yehuda likes that shot. So the Gemara says, why not do it after the first husband? Because in kol it's both shavos. Meaning, after three husbands, now we think everything's the same. So the shofar is as good as anyone else. But after one husband, we think maybe it's dafka only him. So the shofar is clear, is clean, doesn't prove anything about him. Therefore, as Yehuda pointed out, the Nodem Yehuda makes a pshara quoted in the Pesachei Tshuva Yudches. What's the Nodem Yehuda's pshara, the Pesachei Tshuva Yudches, based on this? Based on this, he makes a pshara. Sharas Hanodem Yehuda. After all, he says, there are always two ways to pass. Remember, there are two ways to pass the B'di Gashmo Ferris. If she what's a dam al Hashfo Ferris, that's on the side. Then she's Muteris the Baal Rishon. What's a dam klal? She's Asura Labal Rishon. Okay, that's his pshara. It's actually a very logical pshara. What does he say? If she fell down on the side, that proves that this kind of etzba makes dam come out of the sides. Mestama, that's what happened the first husband also, to dam from the side, so she's okay. But if she finds no dam, that's a proof that she's cured. No, it's not a proof that she's cured. It's just a proof that this etzba is not as strong as the husband's etzba. So therefore, if she finds nothing, it just means this doesn't do what the husband doesn't. She finds on the side, then it'd be too much of a coincidence that the husband makes it come from the mucker, but the soferis makes it come from the side. That's too much of a coincidence. It must be the husband's also from the side. That's the pshar of the Yehuda. It actually makes a lot of sense. Whether or not we possibly get, I don't know, because I've never really had the shayla come up with Maisa. So I'm going to leave that without a resolution, Yehuda. Okay.
She's a surah of
Rishon
if she's
split up to
them, or just
there's
the status quo?
Status quo, she was already a surah of Rishon, because it was every three times.
Okay.
Yeah, status
quo. So you could do it again, technically, and see. And you could still do the test of the Jingo again, no? Afterwards. If you don't find them at all.
At all, they keep doing it until you find them on the side? I mean, you got to wonder, because statistically, right, if you do it 1,000 times by down on the side, I don't know how much that proves. So yeah. I'm a silk.
Okay.
You know, where to draw the line. Okay. Anyway, this is the question about Rishon the Maisa. We don't paskin like Rashi. We paskin. Okay. Maybe it was a veses goth. It's not that the day was her veses, that she is a veses, that whenever she, I don't know, whenever she feels a sharp pain in her stomach, she gets her period. And all of a sudden, during Tashmish, she felt a sharp pain in her stomach. It was too late to stop. Right, so that could be an example of Hetter. That's the Balamor. The Shach quotes Machlokes Achron about the following interesting case. The Prisha says the case was she was expecting her period, let's say, early Monday night. So the nighttime was her Veses. And this happened late Monday afternoon. So it was 2 hours before her Veses, but a different Ona. And here, interesting, it says the Shach, that doesn't make sense. The whole reason, again, we're forgetting about the Urzuru for our purposes. The whole reason that you only reverse one Ona is because it's not expected the Ona beforehand. So then how can you say it is expected the Ona beforehand? The Pesachim quotes all the Achron agree with the Prisha. Apparently what they think is, we don't really expect it the Ona beforehand, but it's close enough that since most women are Romach was Tashmish, we attribute it to the Ona, not Vesas, not Romach was Tashmish. But Kitzur, you come up with some clever scenario, and if they were the Shamish, the Heter, or the Isser, Shasa Veses, it's not Romach was Tashmish, we assume the Tashmish is coincidence because we have another good explanation. That's one shot. The Taz, and that's what the Shogunar says, Shimsha Samach Vesta, Anutolim, Yasu Shem Vesta, Velo Chashvina, La Romach was Tashmish. Doesn't count as one of the three of Romach was Tashmish. The Shachir quotes Rashi, which you also will see we paskin like later at the Simon. You know, the Gemara can only, the Brisa can only mean one shot, but we can paskin like one shot if they're illogical sometimes. Very often, Chassidut and other places, there are two shots of in the Gemara. Only one of them could be shot in the Gemara. The Gemara could only bet one thing, but we paskin like both of them because they both make sense. So one of them's shot in the Gemara and the other one's a Svara, right? So here also, one of them's shot in the Gemara, but the other one's a Svara. What does Rashi say? Anyone?
Not every single time.
Exactly. She has a pattern for Rosh Machmas Tashmish. Let's say she only sees Machmas Tashmish on Rosh Chodesh. Right? She's a pattern for Rosh Machmas Tashmish. Okay. I know you're just going to think through there are two possible ways to calculate that. And I'll say, let's save it for a few seconds from now. But let's say, Pshuto, what if she's only Rosh Machmas Tashmish? Right? Like, for example, only on Rosh Chodesh. She's Meshamish the rest of the month, she's fine. She taps Meshamish Rosh Chodesh, she's Romach Masashmish. And the answer is, she's Aser Bizmanim Elu Umuteres Bizmanim Achirim. Right? That's if she has a Veses for her Romach Masashmish. She attributes the Rimachas Tashmish to that it only happens for some reason at a certain time. So those times she won't be Shamish, and other times she won't. She can stay with her husband. The most radical shot is the Mordechai. It's so radical that some Achronim deny he even said it. But what does the Mordechai say? What?
Meaning like it's
exactly. In Yesh La Veses Kavua, V'rasa machmas tashmish gimel pe'amim shalom b'shas vesta. Vesta. Then, what is told of Vesta? She assumes it must be from a maka. She assumes it must be, this blood machmas tashmish must be from a wound. Why? Because it can't be menstrual blood. Because she has a veses, and why would she have menstrual blood if it's not the time for a veses? It's not Tola B'Vesta, sort of Tola B'Maka, Machmas Vesta, right? As Tola, Zeh, Dam Maka, below Dam Nida. This is a big kula. If she has a Vesta, we assume blood that comes not during the Vesta must be something else and not Dam Nida. We don't assume that all the time. Let's say she has a Vesta, and all of a sudden bleak one day. We'll assume that's Dam Nida. But when there's any other option, we'll assume it's another option because it's not established she would have Dam Nida when she has a Veses Kavua, and it's not that day now.
Is it possible that at Veses Kavua or the Yom also set at Veses Kavua for pizza?
Yes, it is. And therefore, that's one of the many reasons why I know a person like the Mordechai. The Mordechai would have to answer, I think he would admit it's possible. He would just say, oh, but it's so unlikely that we're not Chodesh first. Okay, this Mordechai, do we paskin? We paskin like the mainstream shot. We paskin like Rashi. That's assumed by the Shulchan Aruch later on in Sif Yoder. Wherever that it was in Sif Yod, or by the Raman Sif Yod, we don't paskin like the Mordechai. No, that's too much of a kula. Just the best kavua, but maybe she's also where Machpas Tashvish. That Mordechai we don't paskin like at all. As a matter of fact, the Taz says he never even meant it. He only meant this if she knows she has a Machka, not Menastah. Okay, and the Shach says he meant it, but everyone agrees you don't paskin like him. Those are three pshatim. Which one we paskin like? Now we get to the tricky part, which is the line in the Brisa that says, "Yemiyesh la maka ba'oso makom tola b'makasa." If she is a maka in that place l'kor means the uterus, then she's tola, the dam is for a maka, and dam maka is not matami. Only dam nida is matami. But if the dam of her maka was a different color than the dam of her monthly period, let's say the dam of the maka was bright red, and the dam of the monthly period was brownish red, and now the dam that comes out now is brownish red, and she can't be told on the maka because it's the wrong color. Okay, seems like common sense. Says the Mechaber, and yesh maka ba'oso makom tolem b'dam ha'kasa, v'im dam ha'kasa v'shunem b'dam riyasa, ina tolem b'dam ha'kasa. Right, if the dam maka is different than the dam riyasa, if the dam maka is a different color, say what she saw now is not the same color as the dam of the maka, then she can't be tolem the maka because it's a different color. So therefore, she has no right to be tolem. Here we have a big machlokas, Rishonim, quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, about who's our remember all the rules about this. We have two machlokas. One is the Ramban, one is machlokas in the Ramban and the other Rishonim. What's the machlokas between the Ramban and the other Rishonim?
I'm not pretty soon as we get past that,
or taking a step before that, what's the default and what do you have to prove? I mean, who's machzik, right? Is it that we assume it's dam maka unless we see that it's a different color, or that we assume it's not dam maka unless you prove that it's the same color? And the Ramban then takes it a step further. So let's just put this on the board. And this Kliya B'maka, by the way, I must admit, I've never had any shayla my whole life. Not so old, but still older than you. Never had any shayla my whole life that a woman who had three Ro'ah Dam Machas Tashmishes. But once we already get to Sif Hey and on, Kliya B'maka, that is a shayla that comes up all the time. Not necessarily Ro'ah Machas Tashmish, but in general, what's the rule? If a woman finds dam and she's not sure if it's dam nida or dam maka, how do we decide whether it's dam nida or dam maka? Nafkamina for all regular life, not only for Ramachas Tashmish. Not Bashas Tashmish, you want to know what kind of dam it is. So all of a sudden over here, this simon gets very, very halacha l'maisa because this shaila has come up all the time. How do you know what's dam nida, what's dam maka? So all of a sudden here we see you could be tola b'maka. Okay, that is a good kula. But here we have the question of, what about the color? This actually gets into some interesting kultar kula issues as well. So what's the first machlokas? Says the Ramban, we assume it's not damaka unless we prove that it's the same color as dam makasa. Unless you can prove that it's the same color, she still has some dam left over for her maka from another time. Or she remembers 100% what color it was. And she can put them next to each other or use her memory and say 100%, I see it's the exact same color. We assume it's dam nida. Let's say it's better. We assume it's let me say this a little harsher. We assume it's Damida, unless we prove it's the same color as Damakasa. Therefore, the Ramban comes up with a big chumra. Basically, the Ramban says there's no Tliyabamaka nowadays. Why? It says nowadays we're not Bekiyim in colors. We're not Bekiyim in colors, and therefore we can never prove that it's the same color as Damakasa. Therefore, it concludes the Ramban. Bizman Hazet, Ein, Tolen, Bemaka. Because we're not Bekiyim. Okay, he also throws in another very radical idea. Did anyone notice the other very radical idea that Ramban threw in? Why Bizman Hazet, we're not Tolen Bemaka? He says something very radical. It's only really showing. I mean, they disagree with everything he says. He says also, Chomer Dvar Zera. Any Dama woman sees, she has to keep Sivan Nekiyim, even from a Maka. He thinks Chomer Dvar Zera applies to Dama Maka. Part of Chomer Dvar Zera is that we want to make everything simple. Every Dama needs Sivan Nekiyim, even if from a Maka. Okay, everyone rejects that. Said, that's not what he meant. He meant all Dama Nida, you said Sivan Nekiyim. They also reject this. They reject this for two reasons. They say, A, what Bekiyas do you need? To see if something's in color or something, not Bekiyas. What do you mean Bekiyas? Bekiyas is what Chazal talk about. This color is the color of the wine from the Sharon region, mixed with three parts water, et cetera, from this field. So we're not Bekiyim in exactly what they meant. You know, they said the amount of time it takes to throw a bird on the ground and shaft it. We're not Bekiyim exactly how they used to do it. Then it makes sense we don't have Bekiyas. We don't have Bekiyas in, you know, things that happened in the old days. But to see if something's the same color, different color, you don't need Bekiyas. You just need a brain. We still have brains. But that's one reason they reject the Ramban. But really, they reject the Ramban for a better reason. All the other Rishonim disagree. They reject the Ramban because they just reject what's the default. We assume it's Damaka unless we can prove that it's a different color. Than Damakasa. Meaning they say, you know, you don't have to prove that it's the same color. We assume it's from the Maka. What's the Lashon Lebrisa? In Haisa Dam Makasa Mishuna Midam Riyasa. If the dam of her maka was a different color than the dam she saw, meaning minastam your tola b'maka, unless you prove it's different. So therefore, the Ramban's wrong for two reasons. A, you don't have to prove that it's mutter. It's mutter until you prove it's aser. And if we're not bekiyim, then it's always mutter. And B, we are bekiyim. Okay, we pass on all the other rishonim. What gets tricky is, and this was different from the Torah, how hard do you have to check? Meaning, minastam, let's say stam, she's romach mustashvish. We have no way of knowing whether it's the same color as the dam of her maka or not. Then it's mutter. Question is, what if we do have a way of knowing? Like, what if she has her sheet from yesterday that has the dam of her maka on it? She has the sheet from today that has the romach mustashvish dam on it. Do we have to bring it to a rabbi and ask if it's the same color? You know, how much do you have to check? So that is very controversial. So the Shach here argues with the Prisha and the Taz. The Taz quotes the Prisha. He says, "Tirus b'Prisha dim shneim lefanav lo nezi l'kula came to efshul l'beruiv kol adam yichol l'varis." You don't have to read it to Rabbi; you can do it yourself. Here, there's two shitas. Says the Prisha and the Taz. Says, if both samples are available, you have to check. Meaning you assume it's mutter, but if you can check, you have to check. Kolech the efshel of Ruin Marina. If you can check, you check. So if you can check, then let's say you do better, say very simpler. If you can check, you have to check. We assume she's mutter, but if there's a way to check, let's say you have examples of both, and you can compare them, then you have to check. And he says, this is a general rule. Where else do we find that we assume something mutter, but if you can check, you have to check? Could be from last year's Gemara. What? Efshel Levar, where did we find that? By chametz, right? We assume a bias is bothered on Erev Pesach. But if you can't ask, you have to check. If you can't ask and check, you have to check. You have to call someone, you have to call them, right? Or in the beginning of your day, we assume anyone who shechts is a qualified shochet. But if you see him and you can ask him, you have to check. Or we assume every animal is kosher, is not a chayfa, but if you have the lungs, you have to check, etc. But the general rule is, if you can't check, you have to check. And that's what the Prish Natas says here. However, the Shach says differently. The Shach in Sifkatan your test says you don't have to check. Talking a little across purpose, Natas says she has to check. Shach says you don't have to ask a rabbi. But he also means she doesn't check herself. Like, if you notice it's Asur, it's Asur. But you don't even have to check, says the Shach. You don't even have to check. If you happen to notice that it's a different color, then in Tobin. But you don't have to check. Let's say, you know, in your basement, you have an example of the Dam of the Makkah. In your bedroom, you have an example of the Dam Romach Mashashvish. You don't have to go to the basement again and then check. Now, if you happen to notice, then you'll say that it's a different color. It's also, but you don't have to bother to check. So here, this sounds like a very cold, I think it might be a very cold or cool machlokes. If you assume something's mutter, but it might be usher, do you have to check or do you not even have to bother to check? Okay. Who seems to have the upper hand? The Taz or the Shach? Taz, because of all these examples I just told you. So how do you defend the Shach? The Gilgal Rasha defends the Shach. The Dogma Ravava defends the Shach. Well, Dogma Ravava is not quite as helpful because he defends the Shach by giving you Mar Mikolos. So you need those Mar Mikolos to understand what he's saying. I don't think he says on his own. He says, why here is the Shach Mekel? Because what the Magen Avraham says. Okay. I know what the Magen Avraham says, but we might not. But I think the Gilgal Rasha says it straight out. You see the Gilgal Rasha here? He says, it's Tesvav in mine. I have Sivkatans. I think other ones don't. Ulama shekasavti begil ni elsin chavches shavsin el chodali right. The hacha leka cheskas iser klal. Okay. What is he? What does he mean by that? He says, when do you have to check if there's cheskas iser? The house by chametz cheskas iser. You ate chametz there all year. You just don't know if it was cleaned. The animal, here it's a little tricky because it's a funny kind of cheskas iser, but it's a kind of cheskas iser. The animal, let's say better. Certainly when it comes to the shochet being qualified as cheskas iser, it used to be unshechted. Maybe it's still unshechted. Maybe it didn't do a proper shechita. Okay, we'll leave the trefus aside for now. Says this is the basic machlokes only when, and that's what the Magen Avraham says. The Magen Avraham says, the Magen Avraham quotes it in Taf Lamed Zayin, which is that part of us. Pesach, says, only when there's cheskas iser. So that seems to be the machlokas here, the prisha, the machlokas seems to be, there's this cloud, right? The cloud. And efshar levarer chayov levarer. Right, that's a cloud. If you can't check, you have to check. When does that cloud apply? Always. Or the shach says, only B'makom cheskas iser, it applies. Only b'makom cheskas iser. The simple shot is most poskim seem to be like the shach, that when you have to check, only b'makom cheskas iser. If there's no cheskas iser, then you really don't even have to metriach yourself to check. So the most poskim follow the shach here in, you know, kol shofan arv kulo. Most poskim follow the shach. Only when there's cheskas iser. Otherwise, ignorance is bliss. And you don't even have to check. Here, there's a very fascinating Pesachi Tshuva here. Very fascinating Pesachi Tshuva. Who points out that what is the basis of this heter? The basis of the heter is that she's Bechezkas heter. Right? She's Bechezkas heter, not Bechezkas iser. That's what the Dagmar Baba says, he says, Bechezkas Tara, then the Shach is right. But if she would be Bechezkas Toma, then you would have to check. Right? It's not clear exactly how Machmer he means to be, but at the very least, he thinks you would have to check. Okay, so that's the Shach's point. I mean, in this case, it's always Bechezkas Tara. Why is it Bechezkas Tara? Because she slept with her husband and found dam. She slept with her husband, she must have been Torah. So she's Bechezkas Tara. She slept with her husband and found dam. Doesn't know if that's dam maka or dam nida. So that's a classic case of a suffix half when she was Bechezkas Tara. So she can assume that it's dam maka and doesn't have to check. What if she would have been Bechezkas Toma? Then she would have to check. Okay, here you get into a fascinating discussion of Piskei Tshuva, which comes up Halacha L'maisa. Again, because Halacha L'maisa, we have a lot of shaylos about Tliya B'maka, which are not about Ro'a Machas Tashmish, just about when Tola B'maka. When is a woman Bechezkas Heter? When is she Bechezkas Isser? Right, what's her status? When is she, basically, when is she Bechezkas that she is seeing Dam Nida? When is she Bechezkas she's not seeing Dam Nida? So here you have many, many different shitas. Where does she, let's say she gets her period. She's now clearly Bechezkas Toma. When does she move from Chezkas Toma to Chezkas Tara? I don't mean Chezkas Toma, I don't mean status of Heter to status of Isser. I understand. She only goes to, I don't mean status of Isser to status of Heter. She only gets the status of Heter after she tolls the Mikra. That's obvious. But the assumption seems to be that even before she tolls in the mikvah, at certain point she's Bechezkas bleeding, and then at some point she becomes Bechezkas not bleeding. Right? When does she move from Bechezkas Roa to Bechezkas Eino Roa? So, when does she move from Bechezkas Roa to Bechezkas Eino Roa? Mean, she's menstruating. When does she move to a chazaka of not menstruating? And here we have four shitas, although one of them is not, five shitas, one of them is not quoted super clearly in this Pesach Tshuva, or rather not quoted fully. When does she make that transition? Here we have five shitas. Let's put them on the board. The Bris Avram, and he quotes also the Meir Nesivim. He quotes the Bris Avram and the Meir Nesivim. Right? And the Meir Nesivim. You say, after Hefsek Tara, what is Hefsek Tara? After she finishes bleeding, she does one bedika to see that she's clean. Once she does one bedika, now she's Bechezkas not bleeding anymore. Because she used to bleed, now she's not bleeding. Now she's not bleeding until proven otherwise. From the Hefsek Tara on, she's Bechezkas Eino Roa.
Until she sees Dam.
And then she's Bechezkas Roa. But let's say, after the Hefsek Tara, she had some Shiloh Dam where she wanted to know if it was from her Maka or Dam Nida. She could be told of a Maka because she's Bechezkas Heter. That's what he says. Yeah. You don't have to believe him. Okay. The Chavos Das is quoted here as agreeing with him, but it's really not so pashut. So let's go to the Chassam Sofer. Cheskas Tahora
or
Cheskas Eino Roa? Right. Cheskas Eino Roa. What does the Chassam Sofer say? Chassam Sofer says, after Gimel Bedikos Nikios, after she does three checks and finds herself clean. What is three checks? She doesn't have to power. Then, on the next morning, she does another bedika. Then the next afternoon, she does another bedika. After three clean checks, now she's muchsak that she's not roa anymore. Why? Because Cheskas Gimel Panim. Three times she was clean, we assume she's going to be clean from now on. Right? Different principle. Here it's like chazaka of status quo. He's saying, no, you need Gimel Panim to get you out of status quo. the Mordechai that is quoted in Simon Kuf that's quoted in Simon Kuf Tzadikov. Mordechai seems to assume Gimel Yamim Nikiyim. You need 3 days of Nikiyim. Of course, the principle behind them is the same thing, right? What is the principle? Principle is status quo. Principle of the Mordechai and Chazam Sofer is in the same thing. Is Cheskas Gimel Pamim. Right? Just, what are the three Pamim? 3 days, what's the unit? 3 days or three Bedikos? Three Bedikos is a lot less than 3 days. Okay, so Mordechai says for 3 days we assume she's still bleeding, or she's, you know, certainly not Cheskas clean. She's only Cheskas clean after 3 clean days. The most machmer shita he quotes here is the note of Yehuda. She needs Zayin Nikiyim. She needs Shiva Nikiyim to be Becheskes Ein Arua. Okay, here, maybe there'd be some room too. To disagree, but from the course of this chat, why do you need Shiva Nikiyim to be Becheskes Ein Arua? Teinach, we say the Bris Avraham. There's a rule of status quo. Whatever's true now is true forever until proven otherwise. Okay, so once she's clean once, she's clean until proven otherwise. Cheskas Nikias. The Chazam Sofer and the Mordechai see a little differently. They say, no, this is not like a status. This is more of a pattern of behavior. A pattern of behavior, you need 3 times to be machzik. They just argue 3 what? 3 bedikos or 3 days. Yonah Yehuda says she needs 17 days to get out of Cheskas Roa. What might be the svar of the note of Yehuda? If you look up, again, it's in the Dog Rev over here. Here he quotes it from the Dogma Rav, and also in the Sefer Noda Yehuda. If you look up his Makoros, seems to be this as far. Anyone think of this far? Why would she need 7 clean days to be Mecheskes Ein Arua? Why shouldn't 1 moment, or at least 3 bedikos, or at least 3 days be good enough?
She's still tamei, we said.
She's still halachically tamei, that's true, but I don't think that's his svara. You know, if you look it up inside. So I think he has an interesting svara. Maybe as far as this, why did the Torah say you need 7 clean days? That's a really dangerous question, right? Maybe we're not supposed to ask why the Torah says, you know, the Rav told us we're not supposed to ask why the Torah says. That's funny. In the Gemara, the Rav says, you know, Torah, etc. But okay, we're not supposed to ask why the Torah says. Let's say, you know, what is the conceptual nature of that which the Torah says, that you need Shiva Nikiyim to be Tahora? So you might have just said, Shimon Akiyim is like a purification process, right? I don't know. So why do some people need an Ezov and a Shnitolas? Different purification processes. But you could see it a different way. The Torah says you need Shimon Akiyim to prove that she's not bleeding anymore. After all, keep in mind, Nidoraisa, right? We do Chomodori Zera. Anita doesn't need Shimon Akiyim. Why doesn't Anita need Shimon Akiyim? Anita only needs to have Sektara. She needs to check once, make sure she stopped bleeding. Why? Neither someone who bleeds the normal time of the month. So if she stopped, she stopped. A Zava is someone who bleeds at an unusual time of the month, who has something wrong with her, right? The Ramban of Torah says, Anida is a woman who has a natural cycle, just a natural cycle. Sometimes has Torah. Some natural things have Torah, right? Like a Balkari. Some natural things have Torah. And a Zava is someone who has something wrong with her, like a Zav. So maybe the Zava has something so wrong with her, she's bleeding suspiciously and unpredictably. How do you prove she stopped? Maybe you need 7 days to prove that she stopped bleeding. Maybe you need 7 days to prove she stopped bleeding. That's what that seems to be the svar of the Nodi Yehuda. Okay, quote to Rashi, quote to Tzafim, you can look it up. That seems to be the svar of the Nodi Yehuda. I know you could have said other things. His svar seems to be that the Din Zayin Nikiyim is to prove that she stopped bleeding. Yeah, most things in the Torah, 3 is enough to prove it stopped, or maybe 1 is enough to prove it stopped. But here, the Xeris Akasim, Shiva Nikiyim, is that we suspect her of still having this problem until she's really proved she's recovered. And the Torah says take 7 days to Rosh Hashanah covered. Why? Okay, at that point, you know, we don't know the answer to how the Torah picked what numbers if you need for everything.
I guess I don't really understand this part. We see 7 days for other Torahs also, and the only reason you need Nikim is...
7 days or seven Nikim?
Well, no, but I'm saying the only reason you need seven Nikim here is if you're relevant, meaning if the woman's relevant, again, it's not the clock over.
That's not true. Before coming to Rosh, she's only wrote 1 day, it only lasts 1 day. She doesn't need another 7 days. You could say it's a Mitzurah.
No, once she comes without the Torah.
Ah, okay. I know you. You could say differently. You could say, no. She stopped meeting right away. It's just that she needs 7 days. I'll keep Zeres the Gus of the Dine Toma Batara. And within those 7 days, she's still Mitzurah, so she sees it restarts the clock.
Right.
But you don't have to say that way. You could say, we assume she's Mayan Patuach until we've proven it's closed for 7 days. Okay. The Chavos Das, for some reason, he doesn't quote what the Chavos Das actually says in here. He just says, oh, it makes it sound like the same as the Bris Avraham. It's actually a little different. Says the Chavos Das, if you look it up, I mean, it's right here, not hard to look up. He says, Hefsek Tara plus Bedika Achas Lemachos. A Hefsek Tara plus one Bedika the next day, meaning one less Bedika than some sulfur. Why would you need a Hefsek Tara plus one Bedika the next day? Anyone want to take a guess? I mean, you know, he says.
Because I'm not ready.
No, that's stupid. Aha. Let's say she only did a Hefsek Tara and one Bedika during Shiva Nikiyam. Would that be enough to retire her according to most Rishonim? Don't answer according to what you learned in Chassid class. Answer according to most Rishonim, which is a little unfair question because how do you know most Rishonim? Because we haven't gotten to Simchat Tzadikim yet. And all you know is what you learn in Chassan class, right? And hopefully in your Chassan class, they taught you mainstream Orthodox halacha. So what did they teach you mainstream Orthodox halacha in your Chassan class? What's the minimum necessary in your Tara woman? You have a Tara, plus a B'digan day one, B'digan day seven, B'di-Evid, right? Okay, that's true. That is mainstream Orthodox halacha practice, Levisa. But that's not the opinion most we showed him. And that's not what we rely on, you know, a bit, Makom Tzorech, how to define Makom Tzorech is a sensitive issue. We will not answer that question until we get to Kotzani Gov. But according to most Rishonim, it's really Makhluk Zamor, right? According to most Rishonim, if you do a Hefsek Tara and then one Bedika, that's enough to go to Mikveh after 7 days. So what does the Chavos Das assume? He assumes, well, if a Hefsek Tara and one Bedika is enough, that then you go to mikvah 7 days later, then that's enough to prove you stop bleeding. After all, that's all you need. So that proves you stop bleeding. What he's assuming is that it's not the 7 days of, he's very similar to, I think, the Yesod principle. There's only three principles. I think it's really almost the same as Noam Yehuda. Just, what does he have to add to the Noam Yehuda? He just has to add one thing to the Noam Yehuda. The Bedikas during Zion Nikiyam are stated because that proves you stop bleeding. The 7 days of Nikiyam are just Zeres HaKasuf of a purification ritual. That's not much of a ritual, purification time, period. Right? But the amount of Bedikas you have to do during Zion Nikiyam is what's necessary to prove you stop bleeding. So if the minimum number of Bedikas, the Hefsek Tara plus one more Bedika, then that proves you stop bleeding. I mean, what's he assuming? He's splitting half. The reason you have to wait 7 days is just Zeres HaKasuf ritual purification. But the reason you need two bedikos in addition to waiting 7 days, that's not part of a ritual purification. That's to prove you stop bleeding. Which actually makes a certain degree of sense because maybe you need 7 days plus proving you stop bleeding. Not crazy. So therefore, is that I think he's the same basics for what you do. Basically, I think we have three basic svaras, some of which divide into two. Either she starts being cheskas cleanliness when one moment of status quo, based on the rule of status quo, right? If I know that Shmuel owned this field for one moment, he owns this field forever till proven otherwise. If I know that a woman was single for one moment, she's single until proven otherwise forever. The Chassam Sofer says, no, this is more behavioral than status. You need three times to make it happen. just maybe three bedikos or maybe 3 days. And the Nebuchadnezzar comes down and says, no, don't use the Kultur Kula rules of when you change your chazaka from one thing to another. There are local rules. The Torah gave local specific rules for Azava when she goes from Chezkas Roa to Chezkas Nekios. And just what's part of those rules and what's just a different detail of purification? Notably says all 7 days are part of that rule. 7 days is to prove she stopped bleeding, special local principle. And the Chazal says, no, the local principle is the bedikos. 2 bedikos is enough to prove she stopped bleeding. The 7 days just give us a kasuf. Okay, that's the 5 shitas here. I wouldn't say this machlokas comes up a lot in this particular case, but it really, we will see it comes up. In Kuf Tzadik Vav, it will be very controversial. It will be Achlokas, Ramah, and Shach. Ray Willig here will have a bit of a makel position here. Ray Willig is convinced that the Bris Avraham is correct. And that really, as soon as a woman has a Hefsek Tara, she's already Bechezkas Ena Roa, and it's easier to be told of a Maka. And we will come back to that. And Lamaisa, we certainly rely on that when we need to, that we could be told of a maka, if it's easy to check, so it's really not so crazy to be makra like the priest in the Taz, but certainly if you, let's say you can't check, or let's say or let's say you think it works out, etc., can you be told of a maka? We assume, at the very least, that from the Hefsek Taran on, you can be told of a maka. This will really, okay, let me, I keep saying, not only do I think I put a shofar on the shelf, I actually did put a shofar on the shelf, and it doesn't have. Okay, but it doesn't have Elfus Nika. Anyway, does anyone have Kutzadi Vav in their shofar? So look, where does this come up? Kuf Tzadi Vav says, why? Yeah. The Ramah says, Yeshalman, during the first 3 days of Shiva Nekiyam, we're not Tola b'maka, or not Tola kesed b'maka, and the question is, okay, is that a chomer b'alma? Is that meyakar din? Because she's b'cheskas toma. What kind of maka are you Tola? What kind are you not Tola? So we'll see when we get to Tzadi Vav, a big machlokas. That's really what's being discussed here. When does she transition from cheskas roa to cheskas ein roa? Halach l'maisa, we're no Tola hakel on this, like the Bris Avraham, when necessary. Okay, now let's get to the big controversy. The big controversy is, here we are. The big controversy is classic eat shoots and leaves. Does that still mean anything to people? No. It's something from, I guess, when I was your age. Someone wrote a book called Eat Shoots and Leaves.
Commas.
What?
That the
whatever, the panda beer, sorry.
Yeah, like commas.
Yeah, the panda beer goes into a restaurant and after getting his meal, when the waiter brings the check, he takes out a gun, shoots the waiter, and walks out. So when he asks, what are you doing here? He takes out a little guidebook to the animals in China and says, panda bear eats, comma, shoots, and leaves, right? When it was supposed to be, without a comma, he eats, shoots, and leaves. Okay, anyway, that was really unnecessary. But the point is that it's often makes a big difference where you put the comma. Certainly if you are a waiter in a Chinese restaurant. So what does it say in the Brisa? The Nemenes Ishalomar, a woman's belief to say, Maka Yeshli B'makar, I have a maka in my uterus. So I just lost the place.
Shemimen Adam Yotze. That the dam is coming from that mark. Okay, let's. What is she? Nemenes Isha Lomar. Maka Yeshli Bamakar. I hope I remember it correctly. Shemimena Dam Yotze. Great. The question is, where to put the comma, or here the punctuation marks, etc. What does the woman have to tell you? Meaning, she's believed. That's the next step. We don't need her to prove. We believe her. What's going on in her body? Okay, but what does she have to tell us in order to make a kula? What are the two possibilities?
She's a maka or a damzio.
She has to tell us she is a maka, right? One possibility is, nemenes isha lomar, maka yechli v'makor. She's believed to say she is a maka, and then we assume that the dam is coming from there. That's green. Or do we say blue? Nemenes ishalomar maka yeshli v'makor shemena dam yotze. I have a maka and the dam is coming from there. Meaning, do we have to know, either for the woman or for anyone else, do we have to know she is a maka and that's good enough and we assume hadam yotze? Or do we have to know she is a maka that dam comes out of? That's the big question. Green equals, right? Tolin b'maka stam. Blue, tolin rak b'maka sheyadua shemotzi adam. Only a maka that we know dam is coming out of, that we know is bleeding. You know.
This is a little clarification on that. She didn't just have to say that I know blood comes out of her, but she knows that this blood is coming out.
No. It's enough to say I know. I don't think there's a sheet like that.
Yeah, even in Russian official or not.
Even in the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, Shehadam Yotze Mimena, okay, says the Shach, I explained there's a machlokas how to interpret it. And if you look, all the, where's this most explicit? They all say, no one thinks she has to say, I know it's bleeding right now at the time this came out, just that she knows it's bleeding in general. Where is this most explicit? Where is this most explicit? Shachaf Aleph. No, that's the other side, but where that's the Makel side. What's the Machmer side? Yeah, Shachaf Dalet. Did you say Chaf Dalet fiber?
No, I said
Elkin Yodas Bivada Shemakosum Tiyadan. Machmir says she needs Yodas Bivada that the Mach is bleeding. Afli Shainer Geshes Ata to Shedam Zehu Babi Makasa. Even though she doesn't feel that this particular Dam comes for a Makkah, even the Machmir don't say you need that. Now, you know, I won't deny it. Maybe if you go looking around the obscure Shonim or you can find something like that, but not in the mainstream halachic discourse. So the Lush of the Shulchan Aruch. It's funny, he adds that hey, right? The Lashon of Shulchan Aruch, you have to say, is Lav Davka, especially since the Lashon of Shulchan Aruch, because the Shulchan Aruch holds with the Mekilu. She's Nemenis to see, he puts the comma before that.
Oh.
So we say Shahadam Yotzi Gena. Exactly. If it's after the comma, you can put in the hey. Right, that's why the Shulchan Aruch puts in the hey. Okay, good answer. Now, who are the two sides? Who's green, who's blue? Who's on which color of our team? No, I'm over Shem.
Oh, okay.
Classic, early Shem. The Beis Yosef quotes from the Rashba. Now, the Shach is not convinced this is what the Rashba means, but the Beis Yosef is convinced this is what the Rashba means, right? That the Rashba is green, you're told of a maka, stam. This is the Rashba, at least. The way the Beis Yosef understood the Rashba. And who says, no, it has to be a maka that you know is bleeding? That goes Maimonides, and
the Agos Maimonides, and even more so, I think people quote, although this is just random, the Mordechai. Okay, Agos Maimonides and Mordechai often go together. The Agos Maimonides and Mordechai were friends. And they were both Talmidim of the Maharam of Wittenberg, and they often write the same thing. Okay, so it's the Rashba versus Mordechai. Okay, the Shach says, I'm not sure if the Rashba really means this or not, but the Yosef means the Rashba means it. Let's assume that it's the Rashba versus the Mordechai. Question is, how do we paskin? And here's where it gets complicated. How does the Machaber paskin? Let's read, hey, in the Yesh Maka Ba'osom Makom, there's a Maka Ba'osom Makom in the uterus. Told him the Dama Kasa, we're told him Dama Kasa, I mean, Dama Kasa, Machine Dama Yasa, and told them, like, we just quoted. Who does he sound like? He sounds like the Rashba, in Yesh Maka Ba'osom Makom. Right? Wait, forget about Vav saying the woman's believed. Here we just have the fact. The facts are, and that's what's generally assumed by the postkin, that the Mechaber is like the Rashba. How about the Ramah? Someone want to tell me whether the Ramah paskins clearly, fully like the Rashba or like the Mordechai? Yes, basically, he's more like the Rashba or more like the Mordechai. This is, okay, maybe that's a silly question. He compromises. He's basically machmer like the Mordechai, but because he knows it's a suffix, machlokes rishon, and therefore, when there's another sad lahakel, he's willing to be made so much on the Rashba. So he's compromised. What do you compromise? If all you had to do was pick Rashba and Mordechai, he'd be macro like the Mordechai. But if you have other tzadim lahakel, pun not intended, then he's willing to be maker. How does that work? Let's first read through the Ramah. First, I'm going to ask Shmuel for some more help. Okay. Says the Ramah, the Chose, when are we making? The Isha Shishla Vesis Kavua, a woman with a Ves Kavua, a whole little Shalobisha Vesta Makasa. Then, when it's not the time of her Veses, she can be told on her Maka, Afa Pisha Inyodas Bavada Shemakasa Motsiadam, even if she doesn't know that it's Motsiadam. The Chaynim, okay, so the Chaynim, let's read on. The Chaynim Ain Loves, what?
That's like the more kind of the thing. Don't
pass. Aha, okay. So good. So let's see what the Ramah says. Pliya b'maka. Pliya b'maka lefi Ramah. Only if one case is Yesh la veses kavua ve shalo bishas vesta and yesh la maka stop. Right? He gets this from the five will mention the name. What name did five will mention? Didn't he mention a name before? A Trumas Adesha, right? What's the other? A way of saying the Trumas Hadesha? The Marai, right? And Hey Reish Aleph Yud. However, we're going to pronounce it. Okay, so the Trumas Hadesha, he gets this from a Trumas Hadesha. What does he say? She's a Vesis Kavua, and it's not the time for Vesis, and she's a Makastam. What seems to be the Svara behind the Ramah? What's the Svara for this?
Sorry,
if two different kinkulas. One of the Mordechai, you have a kula, not this Mordechai, the last Mordechai. You're always mutter if she has a vesta, not shol b'shas vesta. And according to the Rashba, you can be told b'maka. So what's the svara? I mean, either way, the svara is clear. The svara is that there are two stadim lahakel, right? Aleph. Mordechai of Yesh La Veses Kavua and Beis the Rashba
of Tlia Vimaka Stama. So therefore, if you have two stam lakel, he's willing to be makel. Here it gets a little controversial. The Bach and the Taz, remember they said the Mordechai never said this? They said the Mordechai actually never meant to be makel Beskabo. The Mordechai only meant to put these two stam lakel together. They said the Mordechai himself only was making with these two tzadim. The Shach says, no, the Mordechai was making with only Aleph, and you're putting them together with the Rashba. They agree in the Svara. They just, the Machlok is the Bach and the Taz think that the Mordechai meant these two tzadim together. The Shach says the Mordechai meant just this tzad. So, but those are the two tzadim. Put these two tzadim together, and you get a Kula. Okay. All right, that's reasonable. You have two stuff together, you get a kula, right? That's how halacha works, right? And most piske halacha are not like you clearly pass them one way or the other way, but if you have two stuff along, we'll come out with a kula. Let's go on. What's the second case? If you have one of these cases. Continuing in the Rama. V'cheinim ein lo v'eses kavua, not the v'eses kavua, v'usafik imadam b'amid amokor minat sladim. Talin and Bemaka, Mikhoch Sveit Sveika, Safim and Atzadim and Amakar, and his alone and Amakar, Shemahu Min Ha Maka. Okay. Safig Min Ha Makar, Safig Min Ha Tzadim. And here this svara is explicit in the Ramah. And it seems like an airtight svara. Seems like. Is the operative word based on the Shari Dura? What's the svara? Sfeik sfeika. Maybe it's min hatzdadim. Maybe it's min hamakar. Even if it's min hamakar, maybe it's dam maka. And maybe it's dam nida. Right? Classic sfeik sfeika. Okay, now, this only works if her maka is. Okay, sorry. Plus the Yeshla Maka Stam, right? Because even though Stam Maka. Where does the Maka have to be in order for this fake statement to work?
In the Makar.
If the Maka was in the Tzadim, there'd only be one suffix. Maybe it's from the Maka and the Tzadim, or maybe it's Dam Nida from the Makar. To have two Sveikos, needs to be Tzadim and another suffix of the Maka. So the Maka has to be in the Makar. That's their Ma rights. Well, it's not okay. The Ramah's not explicit about this, but give me a second. The Piskei Tshuva quotes from Nodi Huda is explicit about it. You don't need the Piskei Tshuva in Chas Kodim Nodi Huda. He says that it only helps if the Maka is in the Makor. Yishla Maka Stam Bim Makor. Yes, Yehuda.
I'm just wondering, is this really two different shemos of a...
That's the Shach's question, more or less. Right. That's why I said, seems like a good Sveik Sveika. Right? It does seem like it. Okay, don't start arguing what seems like. And the Maka has to be in the Makar. If the Maka's in the Tzadim, you don't have a Sveik Sveika. There's only one suffix. From the Maka in the Tzadim, or done need it from the Makar. But here, you have two. Maybe it's from the Tzadim. And even if it's from the Makor, maybe it's the Maka. So you need to have two. You need the Maka to be in the Makor. And you need to be in the Sukkah where the Dam came from. Meaning if she did the Shmuel Ferris test and found it on the top of the Q-tip, then you don't have a Sveik Sveika anymore. Or if a lot of Dam comes out, you don't have a Sveik Sveika anymore because the Tzadim don't need so much. But if you find a little Dam, you know, where to draw the line? No, maybe if this is a doctor. And she is a Mak and a Mukar and Mukar. This is Sveik Sveika that the Ramah relies on. Whether or not we rely on it, we will see. Let's continue. Avon Yadua Shabbam and a Mukar. If you know the Dams of the Mukar, like for example, she failed the Shmuel Ferris test. Afal Pishish the Mak and Mukar ain't no total Maka. She can't be told in the Maka and ain't no Vesis Kabula. Meaning, if you know it's from the Mukar, so you don't have this Kula. And she doesn't invest in Kula, you don't have that Kula. You can't be told Maka. Elim can go das bevadai shemakasa motziyadam. Unless you know the Maka is motziyadam. Maka sheyodas
If you know that the maka is bleeding, and again, the shach says, doesn't mean you know this blood came from the maka, but you know this. Sometimes you can have a wound that you don't know is bleeding. You know you have something wrong. You have something hurts in her uterus, but she doesn't necessarily know that it's bleeding. But if you know the maka is bleeding, then you can be told a stam. Why can you tell a stam? Because if you know the maka is bleeding, even if you don't know it's bleeding this blood at this moment, that's like a vada. You know vada, this maka generally bleeds. You don't know if anything else made her bleed. But there's nothing, then something else made vada. You go with the vada, you assume it's dam maka.
What if she knows it bled like 3 days ago? What's the timeline to know?
That's a good question.
Would we apply the same timeline as what the afternoon were?
I doubt it, because that was specifically for Damnina. This is not. The answer is I'm not sure. Okay. Let's just, when we call welcome the Shas Vesta, we social and social in a total makasa, and locating the tummy all one. That's a parenthetical point which we'll come back to. However, even if she's told a bamaka, here it's a little funny. A woman, again, here we're not talking about Ramasashin, we're talking in general. Say a woman has a maka, she has some fibroid tumor in her uterus that bleeds all the time. So now it's gonna be a little funny. She'll always be told of maka, and she'll never be a nida, and every other one will have to go to the mikveh every month, and she'll be Torah forever. That doesn't make sense. She also has to get married at some point. Says when her vesas comes, or when 30 days comes, she doesn't have vesas on her babyness, then she has to mitame herself, because, like, just logically, she has to get her period at some point. Last, uksamen tolova b'chal inyan. Okay. Uksamen. Right, we mentioned a few times, simen kuf tzadi. Ksamen means she doesn't find the dam inside in a bediko or re'iyah with a hargasha or whatever is the equivalent of hargasha nowadays. She just finds a stain on her clothing. Stains in her clothing are very nickel. They're only drabbanim. They're drabbanim built in mini kulas. One of them is you can be tola on anything, even if it's far out. So certainly any kind of ma'am can be tola, even if it's far out. The achronim here write, if you look on the Pistei Tshuva Lamed, Dalid, he says, even something less than a maka, even if it just hurts her during tashmish. Something hurting is not necessarily the same as a maka. Right, if I work out too much, my body hurts. That's not a maka, it's not an injury. But any type of pain whatsoever, anything suspicious at all, you can tola kesem, that's a special kul of ksamen. That's for ksamen kutsani. That a kesem, you could be tola on even far out other sources of blood, as long as you have some weak basis. So ksamen, that's easy. Tolo b'chalinya. Right? We're not going to deal with that now. That's not our main topic. Our main topic here is maka. Is tolo re'iya. Right? If she finds blood, let's say right after tashmish. If she finds blood after tashmish, we assume that counts as the hargasha, because the hargasha of tashmish, the same as the hargasha of bleeding, or if she finds blood in the dika inside, etc. Okay, this is Ramah. This is not yet Psach Halacha, but this is the Ramah, Samim, Tolev, Dechol, Inyan, Afilu, Ke'ev, Greda, even just painful Tashmish, says the Pistei Tshuva, Sifkat Malav and Dalid. You know, even something which is not really strongly founded, you know, just a hint of a hint, that's good enough for Samim.
A little more like a question, but according to the Rama says that if she's a Shastasta or Shoshim Yom, can't be told about the cost of the time. Like, when would she decide to go to Mikvah? Like, thank you.
Oh my gosh, that is okay. I was going to come back to it. But that is a crazy, crazy question, because as you can imagine. As you can imagine, this chumra then puts this woman in a bind. Let's say she's mamish, has a fibroid tumor that's bleeding all the time. So she's told the maka, all of a sudden, 30 days or her vesas comes, now she's a nida. How does she ever get shiva nikiyim? So it's bleeding all the time. Like, how does she know that the menstrual, we assume the menstrual blood starts at a certain point, it must, but how do you ever know it stops? That's a very, very, very super duper chummer issue. which maybe we will come back to. That the Achronim go to town trying to solve the problems this happened to women. Let me just point something out that before we go on, that the Metzias nowadays is very different than the Metzias in the old days. Because what do we have now that they didn't? Modern medicine, right? They also had, but there wasn't so mutzlach. Nowadays, I'm not saying we never have the same metzias, but basically a woman who is going to have some maka inside her inner organ that's going to be bleeding all the time, nowadays would get it fixed. Like that's not considered an okay situation, you know, having nothing to do with halacha for Orthodox Jews. Like we can diagnose and fix things. So I will admit that most of the shilas of Kli B'Maka nowadays are very different than the shilas of Kli B'Maka in the old days. I'm not saying all. There are still women with makas in the uterus, but usually a woman with a maka in the uterus is caused by modern medicine. The doctor does a procedure and he does a biopsy and cuts out a piece of the uterus, and then obviously there's going to be a maka because he made a cut. But that's not a long-term kind of thing. So usually we don't have these cases. The Achronim went crazy with this. What are the women who bled all the time? Because she had some terrible disease, and I guess eventually she probably died from it, but, that could take 10 years. Meanwhile, what did she do? So that was a big, big problem. The Achronim came out with some Achronim came out with far-reaching kulas to save this woman. It's more later on. Far-reaching coolers to save this woman. But we're not going to deal with that now. Maybe we'll come back to it. I will come back to it eventually. I'll figure out when. Anyway, nowadays, most shilas of Kli B'Maka are what kind of makas are we dealing with? Most shilas, I didn't say all, most shilas are more makas in the tzadim. Tzadim means not inside the uterus, but in the vaginal canal. Not some big disease, this and that. Just the skin there is very sensitive, and it can easily be scratched. And so most shilas of Kli B'Maka nowadays are like not makas that modern medicine would be interested in, because I don't know if I scratch any other part of my body, like the doctor doesn't care. You have a little scratch, so bleeds, put on a Band-Aid or don't put on a Band-Aid, and then, it'll be better tomorrow. That's most Kli B'Maka shilas nowadays are a little different than their Kli B'Maka shilas, but not all, because sometimes a woman could have some problem in the uterus the doctor hasn't fixed yet, or it's a just temporary thing. Okay, that's just by way of background, but the hard cases, like the case described here, she's bleeding for days and weeks and months to know. I'm not going to say never happens nowadays, but I'll say never happens nowadays. Using the word never in the more colloquial sense. Now, let us take a moment. The Achronim here, you see how many pages of Nosekelim there are on each line in this Ramah. This is a big Ramah. And it is still a big Ramah. So, let us, and the Ramah is pretty clear. The question is just, are we going to paskin like this Ramah or not? Right? Number four, there's not really much title what to paskin like or not. When we get to Hilchos Ksamim and Simchot Tzadi, we'll see, it's before Shmishnah, that you're told Ksamim on the most flimsy excuses. When it comes to number three, it's really not much room either to question this. Either you're told on any maka, or you're told on a maka that is bleeding. Clearly, you're told on a bleeding maka. That's before Shmishnah and the Gemara, right? One and two are more the controversial part. Those are things that are most sort of invented from the late Ashkenazic, based on Diyukim or Pshat in the late Ashkenazic Achronim. Are these valid kulas or are they not valid kulas? That's the big machlokas here in the Nosekelim. Who got up to the Nosekelim on this Ramah already?
The Shach
and the
Taz?
Yeah, the Shach
and the Taz. Most of them.
Most of them, yeah.
Not the Taz, the Shach.
Okay, so maybe we will, this is a good place to call it a day, because now we know what we're We know what the framework is. The Pesachei Teshuva goes to town here, as you can imagine. Maybe we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem, and I know we really haven't had enough time to learn since last year. So I did want to. I don't want to push, but not push too much. So let's leave us in the middle of this if. Now we know what the Rama says. Now we just have to fill in the what details we have to fill in. Do we pass like one or not? And why? Do we pass like two or not? And why? Three, what are we going to want to fill in? A, what's the exact Hagdora of Yodasha Motzi Adam? We discussed this a little, but maybe fine-tune it a little more. And maybe, you know, a little bit, but about that, again, doesn't go off a lot there. I'm all about when the Vesis comes. And then we will go on. And so we'll do that next year, Mir Tashem. And then we also have Sif Vav is not so long. Sif Zion is very important in modern-day Tliya B'Maka. Sif Zion is super-duper important. And then there's still a lot more in this simon, which is not as super duper halacha l'maisa. So again, Sif Hey is going to be a little bit halacha l'maisa. They're figuring out these questions. Sif Vav is halacha l'maisa, but it's pretty straightforward. And Sif Zayin is very very halacha l'maisa. And then Sif Ches till the end is interesting things. Which we, I don't know exactly, we'll see when we get to them. At least try to, Sif Ches also, worthwhile mention in context of the Maisa. So we'll pick up Mirtz Hashem Tuesday. We have one more shiur this month. We'll pick up with an Osi Kalim on this Rambam, Mirtz Hashem.
Where should we get them?
The finish Sif Hey, Sif Vav and Sif Zayin are short, but very Lamaisa. Sif Ches is short and somewhat lemaisa. It also has some culture of kula shailas. Sif Tes is not so lemaisa, but is very short. And then there's this very, very long Sif Yud, which is fascinating, not super lemaisa. So however far you get in Seder, you get, and you know, if I have to sort of run through Sif Yud, a little quickly, then that will not be the end of the world. Finish the simon, I think, is too ambitious. Thank you. Ben, sorry about the technological problems.
One more thing. Can I ask a couple questions?
Sure.
In terms of what we're talking about, moving from a cheskas roa to a cheskas ena roa. So just practically, when does that come up now?
When would that come up? I guess in Tliya B'Maka, right, would you have to try to check if the Dam is really the same as the Dam Maka or not the same as the Dam Maka? Or we'll see, maybe Bechlal Tliya B'Maka, Yesh Machmirim, that Bechlal you can't be told of B'Maka in the first 3 days, etc. So I guess it would basically come up then. There's this minhag that you're not told B'Maka at all in the first 3 days, so it would come up there. In this context, it's just in terms of checking the blood is the same. It'll come up again in terms of a minhag to be extra machmir and not be told at all B'Maka.
Okay, so we assume, meaning this is all under the assumption though that we know there is a maka, like this isn't like you can't just...
This is all under the assumption that we know there's a maka, correct.
Right, got it. And of those five options, which one was the one we said we kind of follow?
The Bris Avram. The most naked one. All right, Willie Poss, like the most naked one. The Darker Bakodesh.
Yeah, okay, thank you.